Go and get yourself some hot wings. Whether it be happy hour or not. Get yourself some tater skins. Some quesadillas. I'm going to make y'all hungry tonight. What about some nachos? Salad. That ain't no appetizer, baby. Salad or some rabbit food. But I'm talking about something's going to make you thirstier and make you hungrier because it won't satisfy your hunger or your thirst. I just gave you something that you should be thirstier for the things of God and hungrier for the meat of the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah, appetizer. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, now I'm going to get to something real good here. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We got plenty of time. You ain't got to be home till like, you know, midnight. It's all right. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And when you're there, say amen. Jeff, do you have it? Yes. Can you read it aloud, sir? 2 Corinthians 5:17.
This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation.
Whoa, what's it? Anyone that belongs to
Christ.
Christ becomes what?
A new creation.
Oh, yeah, new. Do you belong to Christ?
Yes.
Let me ask you again, make sure you're awake. Yes. Do you belong to Christ?
Yes.
Then you're a new creation. Yes. Go ahead, sir.
The old life is gone.
What is gone?
The old life.
The old life. Old is gone. You don't want the old. Oh, you don't want the old. Some of us definitely don't want the old. I don't want that old lifestyle. It's gone. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
A new life has begun.
New life has begun. Everybody say new.
New.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Your old has passed away and your new has begun. I don't know about you, but I thank God for new things in my life. But I thank my God for my new life.
Amen.
My new life, I enjoy life. I respect life. I've learned to value life. Because when my old life, I didn't care about life. You can tell me, son, you're about to walk into a barrage of people that want to hurt you. Well, let's go. I didn't care. But now that I have value in my life because I'm a new creature, a new creation, I value my life. So someone says, you're about to walk into something. Well, yeah, wisdom tells me then let's go a different direction. Lest God says for me to go out there. Amen?
Amen.
You're a new creation. New. I want you to go to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Verse 6. Some announcements that I want you to look at as you're looking for that scripture. February 22nd at 7 p.m. is the Women's Heart to Heart. Pastor Inez is going to meet here with the women. What I want you women to do is invite women. Well, is there going to be preaching? Just invite the women. It's called Heart to Heart for a reason. It's a women's fellowship. February 24th, we'll have Papa Louie and Rita will be here. Again, they love being here. March 2nd will be the men's Iron Sharpens Iron across the street at 8:30 a.m. Hallelujah. Do we have the scripture? Yes? Is it not moving? Hallelujah. Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Can y'all see it or is it a glare? You guys can see it? All right. As therefore you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, builded up in him, and established in your faith, even as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Did y'all have that? Am I giving you a scripture that y'all don't have in your Bible? Okay. As therefore you receive, say received.
Receive.
Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk in him. Say walk in him.
Walk in him.
Rooted. Say rooted.
Rooted.
Build it up. Say, in him.
In
him. Establish in your faith.
Establish your faith.
Here's the thing. Haven't you heard people tell you, you got to live for God. You got to live for God. You got to live for God. Living for doesn't mean living in. You got to live in. It says right here, therefore you have received. How many of y'all like to receive things? Okay, it's not too far long ago when we had Christmas, right? How many got some wonderful gifts that you said, ooh, this is so nice, I'm going to put it in my closet because I'm not wearing this one? Come on, you know, you've got some things, you're like, Lord, what were they thinking of? Bless them, hallelujah. It's beautiful. What is it? We've all had gifts like that. Come on.
Yes.
We've all had a gift like, Lord, you have the receipt. And if you didn't have no receipt or no tags on it, you were just out of luck. It was going to be there and it would wind up at the Goodwill or something. Or, what you say? You would do what? Re-gift it? How dare you give something that you didn't want and give it to somebody else? Not if you ain't got no receipt and you ain't got no tags on it.
Exchange.
You're gonna say, I'm going to take this in for an exchange. You got a receipt? Ain't no tags on it. You re-gift it. Now, don't y'all trying to give me all kinds of excuses. This is what I would do. No, you won't. You're going to give it to somebody else so you don't have to buy the gift anyhow, not spend any money. Don't be acting like y'all are all sanctified in here because y'all thought it before I even said it. Re-gift, I'm going to give it to somebody else. It becomes my gag gift that I give to somebody else. Woo! It's better to receive. Receive. Re-gift the gift. Re-gift the gift. Where are you going with this, Pastor? Where are you going with this? We in February. What is tomorrow? What you say about? Oh. It's Valentine's. It's Dia de Amor. Día de amor.
No.
It's the day of love. Love. Valentine's Day. Would I re-gift something that was given to me to give to my wife? That is suicide. That is suicide. Let me just stay right here a little bit here, because tomorrow's Valentine's Day. We have a tendency, I'm going to just talk to the men in here. Men, just look at me. Love me. I love you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. Those that may be single, let me just kind of give you some insight to help you out how to get married. You don't just bring good things and gifts to your love of your life one day and expect that that night be magical. I heard an amen from one of the women, but man, I'm trying to help you. If you want to see benefits to this relationship, not those benefits because you're single. Y'all are something else. Benefits of understanding that the love is mutual. The love is mutual. Y'all are something else. And let's go to the cross as a church. Father, help us, Lord. Their mind went that way. It should have been right here. Whoa, Lord Jesus. You can't expect, just because you did one act of kindness, that that everything the rest of the year is going to be based on what you want. You know how we do, because, honey, I throw out the trash. And she's like, yeah. No, but you understand, I threw out the trash. And I even took it out to the curb today. And you still ain't getting no response. And then you're like, you know what, I'm not going to take the trash out no more. You haven't taken it out all year anyhow. But because you did it one time, you want me to praise you all day long because you took out the trash. You're not going to get the brownie points that way. Ooh. Okay, men, now I'm going to help you. Women. No, I'm going to stay back here. You can't expect for your beloved to do good things for you if you're constantly reminding. There's another word for it. Oh, I didn't say it. They said it. But here's the thing. We expect so much in return, men and women, in this relationship because something was done to earn something in return. Correct?
Yes.
See, we do things based on what we want to
receive.
It's based upon everything that you try to do yourself, but you're not going to get it the way you want to get it. Do you understand? If we just have a tendency to do things out of our heart, we can have a greater rate of return, if you would. Why? Because it's done out of your heart and not done because I want to receive something. Now, I may just leave this up instead of going on to the other ones. How many of y'all went to college to get a degree? Raise your hand. And did you get the degree? Yeah? Okay. Did you do good in school and you had good grades so you knew you could go to college and make it? Raise your hand. Okay, now I don't want to ask to strike that question. While in college, you knew you were going to finish, and you finished, right? You got your degree, correct?
Yes.
Now, wouldn't it be so much easier to go to the dean of the college and say, look, I'm going to be here every day, and I'm going to turn in all my work, and I'm going to get good grades. Can I just have my degree now, and then I'll work for it?
No.
So you won't get the degree just because you asked for it? You got to work, and you got to work for that degree? I don't like that kind of stuff. So not only do we have to go to school, do the work, pay for the school, and then we got to pass, and then before we even get it, we still got to walk across the stage to have our achievement and receive the goal, which is the degree, correct?
Yes.
See, we have been trained all through our school years, in order for you to receive, you first have to achieve these goals. You have to achieve before you can receive. So isn't it true that as you're growing up, you think, in order for me to get what I need, I've got to work at it so I can get it? It doesn't work that way in the kingdom, though. Here's the thing I want to show you. In the kingdom, it's different. Go to Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. And when you're there, say amen. Y'all are fast. Joshua 1:8. I'm going to show you something. Achieving and receiving. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. See that do part? See, do accordingly. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. Do you see that? God is speaking to Joshua here that you have got to do something in order for you to receive. You have got to do something in order to receive success. This is what God is speaking to Joshua. The book of Joshua is a book about military strategies for the kingdom of God. It's a military book. If you read on there, look, watch this. This is good for my leaders in here. Listen to this for my leaders in here. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officer of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare. What? What did, right there in verse 11, what does it say? Prepare what? Victuals, provisions. It's talking about food. Food. Prepare your food. Prepare your food, leaders. For within 3 days you shall cross the Jordan to go and possess the land which your Lord God has given you to possess it. Did you hear that, leaders and ministers of this house? Okay, just making sure we're hearing that. But didn't he just tell Joshua as well that the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth? He's talking about the law of Moses. Why? Don't let this leave your mouth. You've got to eat it. You got to eat it. You've got to eat it. You got to understand this. The word of God is the bread of life. You've got to eat it. And if you eat it and you meditate on it, in other words, don't just read the word and then just let it go. You got to meditate on it. You got to say, okay, how is this going to work for me? How does this apply in my life right here? Then you shall receive a prosperous way. Doesn't it say that? So here we go now. We got to do this in order to receive. Go to Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. Acts 1 and verse 8. Acts 1, 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remote parts of this earth. Well, power came because of what? What did they have to do? Oh, so they had to wait. They didn't have to work? Nope. They just had to wait? What came on them afterwards? The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And then look at the territory. Where? Samaria, where else? Judea, where else? To the ends of the earth. Now watch this. If God is asking you by faith, not works, but by faith, to wait on him, then after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Here comes power now. Power for what? To advance you. To advance you. Not just to the next territory. Not just to the next step in your life. Not just to the next phase of your life. But to advance you further than where you thought you were going to be. Some of the people got it. Let me say it again in a different way. We might have in our mind that we need to get a promotion in order for us to get a raise. But God may have a plan for you to do something different so that you don't only get a raise. Maybe you get a new business. Amen. Maybe you don't just get the raise. Maybe you get a department head. And you get more than just a raise. You get a promotion with benefits. Do you understand? He's trying to address our mindset with this. All at this time, they seen Jesus do all these kind of works. So they felt in their mind, in order for me to be like Jesus, I got to do the works. Do you see that? These are the disciples. These that were following Jesus saw Jesus do works, and they thought themselves that the new church that was going to be birthed in Acts was based upon the works. It wasn't based upon the works. It was based upon the advancement of his kingdom. But the works would follow with signs and wonders. But they didn't have to work at anything. It was just by faith that they received. Do you understand? Now, Christmas time is a good night, is a good, you know, good time. We just wait for the fat, jolly person to come through the fireplace, and if you don't have one, he just appears. But there's anticipation. If you're a child, you're waiting for Santa Claus. And then if there's already gifts under the tree, you're already starting to shake all the boxes to see what's inside of it. And then your mind starts trying to figure out what's inside of it. If it's heavy, this, if it weighs about 10.5 ounces, then I know that it may be that watch I was believing. But if I shake it and it rattles, then it may be that game that had the marbles in it that I really want. You know what I mean? Our mind starts to think about what's inside something. What God is trying to get us to do and understand is some of the things that are coming to you are the things that are unseen and unperceived. They're just coming because he wants to give them to you. Now, freely you have what? Received. What is the command? Freely give. Some of y'all had a hard time with that one. So I'm going to give you $10,000. Freely you received. You see that? Woo, what you said? What you said? God is good. God is good. And then you get the unction. But watch this. Give it away. Where's the joy? Where'd it go? I didn't see that same sign earlier. You're looking at me like, are you crazy? You didn't work for it. It came to you. Freely given. You know what has happened in church society and church as a whole? We have received so much knowledge of the Word of God, but we want to sit here like fat cats. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've heard this one before about 6 years ago. Heard this message before. I don't know where he's going. It's all right. Hey, brother, it's good to see you, man. How you doing, bro? Bless you, bless you. But you won't say hi to anybody on the street. You won't be friendly to anybody, but in church, you want to look like you. You know when you dress the part, JJ, you dress the part. Ain't going to do that top one because it won't fit. Oh, you're laughing at me. Don't laugh at me. But we want to dress the part, but we don't want to walk the walk. We want to be looking good in our three-piece suits, and we want to have all the Stacy Adams and all kinds of nice shoes and alligator and pleather, whatever. But we don't want to walk the walk. What walk is he talking about? It's not the hard walk. Freely you receive my love, freely give it. Freely you receive my grace, regift it. Give it to somebody else. Here's the problem. We Give me. And what I got, I don't know when I'm going to get the next one, so I'm going to hold it. So I'm not going to release it. I'm just going to keep it. Just going to keep it. I'm not going to let go. Because I don't know when God's going to come through for me again. Wow. But I'm going to go to church every day believing God's going to increase me. He's going to increase me, right? Because I'm keeping his commands. I'm praying. I'm fasting. Well, not always fasting, but fasting. I'm being nice. I'm serving in the church. But the last thing he gave me, I don't want to give it up. I won't give it up. Because I don't know when I'm going to get something else come my way. I've been saved 13 years and only have one testimony. So I'm just going to hold on to that testimony. Yeah. That's good. I think it's okay. God knows my heart. Yeah. Stingy. Give it up. But we want to dress the part. And dress the part. Can I point my mama out for a reason? It's Wednesday night Bible study. Let's go to church services. Oh, I'll just point out my leaders in here. Love y'all. She would never go to church like that. Am I correct? Why? Because we were trained. We had to be dressed a certain way. I can't stand how this even feels. We have to be dressed a certain way. And watch this, watch this. God forbid I came in some chanclas in this house. For some of y'all don't know what chocolate is, it's those flip-flops. Because that's disrespectful under the house of God. You got to come with your best. He wasn't talking about your coming. He was talking about your best here. Your intentions, your best intentions, so that this way you can receive because you believe and you can achieve by faith. Not by your works. And definitely not by the looks. Because I've been around so many people that they would go, oh, watch this. You remember, Mom, we used to go to the conferences, and before we'd go to the conferences, we'd go shopping, spend our money that we didn't have. Get shirt, suit, new shoes, new shirt, ties. I still got a whole thing. Right, Michael? I got a whole thing of ties. Michael wears them now. Just so that we can be. Praise you, Jesus. Yes, sir. Preach it, sir. Preach it. Yes, sir. Hey. You do the part, but you walk out of here just like Satan himself. Watch this one. And then you get a prophet or evangelist. You got to give $100 and you get blessed. Bring it up so that I can just pray over it. I thought that he was possessed. I thought for sure there was something wrong with his ear because he was always pulling on the ear. I got to just, that's anointing. I got to go, no, I'm not anointing. That's hype. God will never speak to you in hype. Never. Because you'll always think that you've got to feel something in order to obey. God speaks to you in the silence. Remember the first part of the service? Can we be still? Be still, be still. Some of y'all are like, is it going to get started? Because we don't like the silence. We don't like to be still. But if you can't be still and you can't be silent, how is he going to talk to you?
That's right.
How is he going to get to you what is rightfully yours if you can't be still? Come here, Senor. Put that down. Watch this. Watch this. Stand right there. Now, I'm going to give this to you. But every two steps I take, I want you to take three steps that way. But this is yours. You can have it. Every two steps I take. Just keep going. But this is yours. You can have it. No, really, this is yours. This is yours. This is for you. You can have it. You don't have to do nothing. It's yours. God wants to get to you what you need. Thank you, baby. What's rightfully yours. But the mindset is we think we got to work at it to receive it. Now I'm going to get in your business. Now you think you got to work to get deliverance and you got to work at things so that you can get delivered of an issue in your life. That is not the truth. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Matter of fact, let me retract that statement. It's a lie from the one that is going to the pit of hell. He's not there yet. He's not there yet. That's the ultimate day of judgment. Hell is only down there for the end time. So when you bind the devil, don't send it to hell because you're not God. Okay? Just learned you a little bit. But I got caught saying the same thing. That lie is saying that you got to work this thing out in order for you to receive. That is not truth. Faith says believe you will receive. What work is in your believing? Y'all can't even ask. You can't even ask God, how do I receive? It's like, hello? You can't receive if you're holding on to old religion, old legalism that won't allow you to be free. When you're free, you can receive. And it's not based upon your acts, your works, or anything else other than your faith in him.
Amen.
But when he gives to you, you're supposed to give to others. You can't give salvation, but you can give the love that you receive from the Father to get salvation to someone else. Jesus said, this new commandment I give unto you. Say new.
New.
Commandment.
I give.
To you. Who gave it?
Jesus.
That new commandment is what? To love God with all your heart. Not that eighth of a heart, a quarter of the heart, half of the heart, because the other half or the other quarter is some of your stuff. No, give all your heart to God, then he gets even deeper. This is the challenging part. How can you love a God you haven't seen? Yeah, you'll say that real quick, because that's the Christian thing to say. How are you going to love a God that you maybe haven't heard speak to you? How many of you have heard the audible voice of God? Raise your hand. A few. How did that make you feel when you heard it? Wasn't it crazy? What you said? Ooh. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Woo. Woo, I heard that one. And then you hold on to that. Oh, yes, Lord. How soon after that did you hear it again? Hello? I can't hear what? Oh, it's been a while. Lord Jesus. But you sure it wasn't the Spirit? You sure it wasn't one of those Casper the Friendly Ghost? But you knew it was God. But you didn't see God. You didn't smell God. You didn't taste God. How do you know that God is for real? Now say it. By faith. But your natural senses could not. Because matter of fact, when you heard the audible, he was speaking right through your outer ear into your inner man ear. Do you understand? The things we're so used to is what I see, I can achieve. That will be true here in real life. In the spirit, he wants you to see with your spiritual eye. And when you see with the spiritual eye, you go past the middle to get into the heavenly realm. Jacob saw as he was laying and what? Being still in his sleep. He saw the ladder extend. And he saw the angels ascend and descend. And Jesus, the Son of Man, was standing right at his side. What do you see? We have to learn to be still. Be quiet. Don't worry about the works. Y'all have all had this come happening to you. All of us have had this. Bless you, brothers. Is there anything I can do for you? What are you doing right now? Is there anything I can do for you? We're here with the Church of the Latter-day Saints. Oh, how about the other one? You already know. When's the last time you had a knock at the door and it was a Christian? Oh, ow. Ow. If you can't say amen, say ouch. When's the last time? You haven't.
Never.
Why? Because we stay right here. I'm not called to do that. That's not my ministry. I'm called to preach. Oh, wait a minute. I'm called to prophesy. I'm called to be an evangelist, to go over the third world countries. You can't even get past your own little world. Get out and do something for the kingdom of God. Freely you have received. Freely give. Re-gift it. Don't package it up. Just give it. You know what God did for me the other day? God saved me. You know what he did? He saved me from my current situation. And that's my testimony. And I overcome by the word of the Lord and my testimony. And when I tell you that God came through for me, Lord, he's not a respecter of person. And he's going to do it for you. And when he does it for you, go tell somebody else what God did for you. That's how you build faith in the kingdom of God. You ain't got to go be knocking on no doors and say, y'all know about Jesus? No, because they're going to come out of their door and say, something's going on over there at the house of manna. I got to get there. What's going on there? I got to get there. There's something stirring in the atmosphere because they're giving things away. Don't have me give my car away, because I'll give my car away, because I know one thing, and what I give, I shall receive. Amen. What I put in the ground is what I'm going to receive. Tell me to get my house away, I get my house away, because I know I'm going to get a better house. You cannot outgive God. Now, don't trust me. I'm not taking your money right now. What I'm trying to show you is the principle of the kingdom of God. What you give by faith, not your eyes, faith, you will receive with your physical eyes. You understand? By faith, you sow into the kingdom, but you reap here in the natural. You can receive. How many of you want to be healed? Completely healed of everything. You don't work out your healing. He paid the price already. All you've got to do. Now watch this. I'm going to silence that lying spirit. It's a lying spirit that says you can't receive it. Because what if it doesn't happen? Some of it is going to come. Watch this. Jesus healed the blind man. What did he do first? To the ground. Then he reaches to the ground. You hear me? Watch this. He gets the ground in which man came from. And he takes healing, the redemptive power of God, and the creation, and puts it right back into his eyes for new creation. Amen. Do you understand? Some of y'all need to go through the process of what you're going through for your healing. Meaning you go to the doctors. You go through the process. God can use that because he used the soil, the dirt of the earth to bring about healing. And he healed the man. There's other creative miracles that he didn't do anything else. He spoke it and it was. There were some things that he didn't have to speak. They were already healed. Then he said, go and sin no more. That's not the sin of active sin. That meant do not depart from me. Is the sin. When you depart from God, which is the original text, you're not walking in him. You're not rooted in him. What's happening is you're working for him. Okay, watch this. I'm going to show you. I got a little bit of time. I want you to go to Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23, when you're there, say amen. I want to make sure y'all read it with me and understand it. Hallelujah. 6:23, I'm giving you a lot of scriptures. Y'all should bring pen and papers on Wednesday nights. Sundays, I don't know what's going to happen, but on Wednesday nights, bring pen and paper. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Say wages. How many of you have a job right now? Well, let's put it this way. How many of you know that when you go to work, you're going to get a paycheck, right? Because you earned what? You earned your wages. For the wages of sin is death. In other words, work for some things, and you're going to see that you're going to get what you worked for. But the free gift, say free gift, of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see life and you see death. You see the one and you see the other. You see death and you see life. But do you see also that the other opposite that was there is wages and gift? One you work at and you're going to get what you worked at. The other, the gift is given because it's freely given. That's eternal life that comes from God. You don't have to work at it. He gives it. Go to Genesis 29. Genesis 29:14. I'm trying to help you and help myself at the same time. Genesis 29, verses 14, all the way through 30. Let me set this up. This is the story of Jacob. Do y'all know who Jacob is in the Bible? Yeah. Let me give you a little brief synopsis real quick. Jacob was a child that was born, and when he was born, he reached out to the twin brother and grabbed the heel of his brother to try to circumvent so he can trick him to get his own birthright, because the firstborn male has the right for the inheritance. But since that didn't work, later on in life, you see that Jacob steals the birthright and the blessing because he covers himself to be just like Esau. And what happens is he steals the birthright. So he tricked his own brother and he gets the rights of the inheritance, the blessing. But because of that, he has to retreat and he has to run and hide. As he's retreating, God tells him, just go, get out and go to a land. So he goes, and as they're going to water the herd, he sees this Puerto Rican. This is my Bible. And this Puerto Rican happens to be among some other people, but he sees the Puerto Rican and says, What's your name? He got the Holy Ghost at that moment when he saw this Puerto Rican. He looked and said, what is your name? He couldn't even talk straight. Give me your digits. Then they, are y'all family? Yes, I'm family. Do y'all know that we're family? Who dat? I'm just paraphrasing. The only reason why y'all don't read the Bible is because it's boring to you. But there's some good stories in this. Watch this. I'm going to read it to you. Here we are. We fast forward. Jacob falls in love with Rachel. She got sofrito. She knows how to do the arroz con gandules. He says, I like her. I want her to be my friend. And watch this. Holy Spirit, come. Okay, let's go to verse 13. Genesis 29:13, and then we'll continue on. So it came about when Laban heard the news of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. That's a lot of affection right there, right? Oh, this is so good affection. You know how we do, because we get around our family members. Oh, we love you. Ay, mijo, you're so fine. Ay, mijo, it's been a long time since I seen you. Ay, mijo. But here's what I want to show you, that even our family members get a little twisted. Y'all like, oh, y'all ain't laughing now, huh? Laban said to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he stayed with him a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be? Okay, now you're working. You're going to earn something. Mm-hmm. Verse 16, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. And some of y'all remember what I preached before on this one. And Leah's eyes were weak. That's the nice way of saying that she wasn't all that in a bag of chips. But Rachel was beautiful. Of form, another, you heard that, right? Form and face. Wasn't just beautiful just because her personality, she was fine. Happy Valentine's Day, baby. Preaching this for you, baby. That was good, wasn't it? That was good. Now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you 7 years for your daughter Rachel. Now that's love right there, baby. 7 years? We can't even wait 1 year of engagement. I'm going to work 7 years so I can get your daughter because she's fine. I love her. How are you going to love someone you ain't even know them? Just going to say it and throw it out there. Maybe those 7 years of working, he had to get to know her. To know, yeah, this is you mine now. I'm working hard for this. This book is so good. Watch this. This is so good. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than to give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days. That's a lot of love right there. It's like saying, baby, I'll work 7 years for you, but it's only, to me, it only feels like it's a few days because you're so fine. And with time, you get better. You don't age. You just stay beautiful. Let me get back, Verse 21. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. That's it, baby. That's it. 7 years. Give my wife, baby. That's it. Woo! We're going to have a party. This is it right here. My wife, for my time is completed that I may go. Okay. May have relations. She's mine. I earned her. I worked hard for her. What I did, hey, first, this is the one. You're my flesh. You're my bone. Stay with me. Some of us have these kind of in our families. Watch this. Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. Must have been Hispanic because, you know, when we all the family members come, they have the barbecue. They bring libations. In other words, they bring their drink offering. So they made a feast. Now it came about in the evening that he took his daughter Leah and brought her to him, and Jacob went in to her. Did y'all miss that one? Did y'all not? So he slept with who?
Leah.
Leah? The one that was... Dun-dun-dun. Wait a minute. How is it that Jacob's not going to know this isn't Rachel, the one that he loved so much? That I worked 7 years, but it was only a few days to me. Okay, let's stop right there. Get back. Whew. Verse 24. Laban also gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came about in the morning that... Behold! It was Leah. Some Bibles say, and there was Leah.
With an exclamation point.
Now look here. Look. When it's last call, get out on your own. Don't be going home and not even know who you're going with. But say that you're in love with this person. But then when you wake up, you have that coyote ugly kind of effect that you chew off even your own arm just to get out, not to disturb the one, and get out of there before they even realize what's going on. Because the happy hour with the appetizers made me thirsty. I drank more than what I should have ate. And what happened was I wound up with another woman.
All right.
There was Leah. And there was Leah. We got to talk. How's he not going to know? We all have... No, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone here. Let's go back over here. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it for Rachel that I served with you? Why then have you deceived me? Oh, the trickster got tricked. The deceiver got deceived by his own family member, kind of like he did. Hence, what goes comes right back at you. I don't care if you're in the lineage of God or not. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. You can't circumvent that and think, because I'm saved, what I do is covered, and then I'm going to be all right. No, you can't do away with that law, because what you put in the ground is what you're going to get. Amen. What you put yourself into is what you're going to get. Just trying to help somebody that thinks that they can do what they want because they're saved and their sins ain't seen. No, there's still a law in effect. Verse 26, but Laban said, it is not the practice in our place to marry off the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also for the service which you shall serve with me for another 7 years. Say another 7 years. What was he after first? Receiving Rachel, the one that he wanted. So he worked, earned wages, and who did he get? Leah. Watch this. Here is the thing that's going to set you free. Verse 28, Jacob did so and completed her week, and he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Laban also gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maid. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and indeed he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban for another 7 years. One he worked for, and he didn't get what he expected. The other that he just waited on and believed on, he got, but then he worked it out willingly. See, some of us think that we got to work so hard to get what we want. In the natural, you're going to work. But in the spirit, stand. And because of your heart, for God first, and trusting in God, and not trying to be a deceiver, a tricker, and trying to trick somebody into getting what you want, which is called manipulation, which is that of witchcraft. You stand still, and God will bring to you what you want and desire the most. But you don't have to work after it. After you receive it, you'll want to work for him. Yes. Jacob worked hard and he got something he didn't want. He received something he wanted to re-gift. But when he got, watch this, he was only after the Puerto Rican. I'm just kidding for those of you listening to the podcast. He wanted Rachel. He worked a total of 14 years. And what he left with is four beautiful women, even though Leah was, it says lazy-eyed. Four beautiful women. When you're doing the things for God, you may be after one, but he's going to bless you with more. Amen. Not only is he going to bless you with more, he's going to bring that lineage through all of them, which will create the 12 in the kingdom of God. There's purpose for everything. Everything. Not one of you that are sitting here are here by accident. Amen. Not one of you. You're here on purpose. To fulfill the kingdom of God, the purpose of God, through you by faith. What he gives you, give to others. Give to others. He has given you free will. All you've got to do is say, God, I want your will. You have given me mercy and grace. I want to give mercy and grace. I want to give love up to others, but first teach me how to be loved. I want to give forgiveness, God, but teach me how to receive forgiveness. I want to be able to embrace with love and friendship with a friend, but teach me how to be a friend. Let me receive. Sometimes we have a hard time because we don't know how to let go what we're holding on to. He's going to bring it to you because it's his promise. You may have to go through some things until you realize your nature. That's what happened to Jacob. He realized his nature and who he was. He was a deceiver. He was a trickster. He was the one always working things to get his personal gain. But when it happened to him, he realized, I got what I deserved. You read on later, and then God speaks to him and says, your name will no longer be Jacob, it shall be Israel. Why? Because he understood his character, and it wasn't a good character. We have to allow God to change our character, change our ways in what we speak, and how we interact with others. When you can do that, your character begins to change through God and his love and his mercy. Don't walk in God. Don't walk for God. Walk in God. Don't abide for God. Abide in God. Have your way and have your being in him. Because once you have your way in him, he becomes a part of you and you begin to want to make change. Do you understand? The only way you're ever going to receive is by faith. By faith, not by your works. Not by your works at all. You receive by faith. So by faith of whatever it is you're believing God for him to do in your life, whether it be emotional scars that need to be wiped away, whether it be the healing that needs to take place in my body, or whether it be something that means so much to you of changing your character so that you can be well received by others. He'll do it. But learn to spend quiet time with him. You don't have to spend hours quiet. If you start off just giving him the morning, even with your cup of coffee, your tea, and you just spend time and just reflect, God, thank you for allowing me to wake up today. Thank you for allowing me to see another day. Thank you for allowing me to breathe the air that you give me. That's it. You spent time. And then zip it. He'll speak to you. He'll speak to you because he wants to speak to his children. He wants to teach you something that you don't already know. He wants to get to that place in your life that you need him to be a part of your life. Let him do it. Let him do it. Regift the gift. Regift the gift. You have received the gift of God in your life. Give it to somebody else. Don't sit in churches, become a fat cat and just want to look the part but not walk the walk. That doesn't mean going door to door, knocking on people's doors. You know Jesus. Love them like you love God. So that when they reach out and say, I need help, well, that's not my calling. No. Reach back. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. You can go ahead and cut it off, Michael. Yeah, thank you.